All right, Saturday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. 56 minutes of fury. Let's load this thing up, Will. Let's get ready to roll here. Let's hop into the budget real quick. And I know this isn't the most sexy thing to talk about out there. You know, we want to talk, and believe me, I love talking about the more exciting things, CBDC, vaccine passports, transgenderism, WEF, and many other things. The border, but really, if you look at this, and it's funny because I was just thinking about this right before the show started, I don't add this in to the tactics of the leftist globalist bourgeois elitist agenda and narrative. I mean, I talk about, obviously, transgenderism, gun grabbing, vaccine passports, global pandemics, transgenderism, climate change, and every other thing. Those are the tactics of the globalist agenda narrative, which is to leverage you into one world commerce system with a singular access point controlled by them. But I don't think of bankrupting you. And I don't think oftentimes of hyperinflation and fiscal leftist fiscal policy. Because, you know, listen, if you look at Canada right now, and I have Canada here on the stack, probably won't get to them in 56 minutes, but Canada is destroyed. Just so everybody knows. I mean, if Canada is able to recover, they will not recover. If Justin Trudeau wins the next election, Pierre Poilievre does not win, Canada's done. This is not hyperbolic. I'm telling you, you cannot afford to live in Canada.
Yeah,
I'm telling you flat out. Aaron and I and Will, we could play 5-6 straight hours of TikTok videos that are put out by Canadian citizens that cannot afford to live. One of them today that I watched is basically, you know what? You sit there and you work so much to pay for the house you're never in. Because you're never in it because you're working the entire time. It is that bad. I'm not kidding you. It is that bad. And Justin Trudeau is just about to raise the carbon tax again. But don't worry, you're getting a tax rebate. Yeah, they take $3,000 from you and they return $1,000. And he talks about anybody who cancels the carbon tax, you don't get your rebate. You start off with your $3,000 though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. But anyway, so it's not the world's most exciting, sexy thing to talk about, budgets. But listen, could it be the thing that crushes us? It is the United States budget, which there is, by the way, again, just to be clear, there is no budget. What they do is pass one CR after another, one continuing resolution after another. There is no budget. We have not passed a budget in over a decade. I mean, does everybody know that?
Yeah.
That the United States, the most powerful country that has ever existed in the history of the globe, has not passed a budget. I'm saying a decade. It's probably been longer than that because they never passed one under Obama, never passed one under Trump. So it's at least 12 years and now 3 years of Biden. So it's at least a decade and a half. It's probably been 2 decades since we've passed a budget. We will be $35 trillion in debt in April. And I mean, listen, I know once again, it's more exciting to talk about vaccines. And believe me, I like talking about vaccines and COVID. It's on the stack tonight. I mean, listen, I do, but could it be that this is what crushes us faster than anything else? And by the way, when I say crushes us, I'm saying if we don't do something about it. I'm not saying it's going to crush us. We better start doing something about it now. Put up the first one for me, Will. Booker tweet. In fiscal year 2023, the U.S. federal government, just so everybody knows, spent $6.17 trillion. $6.17 trillion. That's last year. Prior to COVID, it spent $4.4 trillion. So none of that last year was COVID spending. So, and I love how he asked, can anyone tell me what in the bleep we're getting for the extra $1.7 trillion? Are you safer? Are you better off financially? You have better roads? You have better bridges? You have better life? The answer to all those questions is absolutely not. But just ask yourself this. Was COVID, and we all know the answer to this question. We all know the answer. But was COVID simply a predicate to destroy you? Not kill you. Destroy you, because COVID's 99.9% survivable. But it was used to usher in totalitarian measures. We spent basically $4 trillion before COVID. And under Biden this year's budget is $6.8 trillion. So we're going up basically almost another trillion. We'll be $35 trillion in debt in April. And you have to ask yourself, why in the world are we spending $1.7 trillion more than we did in 2019? For what? I mean, please name me. Send me a message. What exactly are we spending it on? And all of those increased expenditures, and this was under Trump, and I hated how Trump handled COVID. He was totally wrong. Certainly better than a Democrat, but very much wrong with his basically 120 days to 15 days to flatten the curve. Remember, it went from 15 days to flatten the curve, to 60 days to flatten the curve, to 120 days to flatten the curve, and now 4 years to flatten the curve. A lot, if you watch a lot of videos like I do, many people now have masks back on, just so everybody knows.
Oh, yeah.
Many, many people. But, so you just have to ask, was this just ushered in, was COVID ushered in for the many nefarious purposes to put in via vaccine passports, to put in the digital infrastructure for CBDC and social credit systems? That's for sure. But was it also brought in to usher in hyperinflation, to de-dollarize the globe and devalue the USD globally? Is that why it was brought in? Absolutely, to crush the United States economy. Well, a great way to crush the United States economy is to continue to print money. So we had a $4.4 trillion, I don't even want to say budget because there was no budget, but we spent. So I'm going to call it a budget. Just so everybody knows, I know there was no budget, but I'm going to call it a budget just for ease of conversation. So we had a $4.4 trillion budget in 2019, and now it's $6.1 trillion. It was escalated for COVID to spend all that money on COVID for vaccines and to pay everybody not to work and all those different things for a 99.9% survival virus. Never need to close down travels, never need a lockdown, never need a mask, never need to stand 6 feet apart, no need for alcohol gel stations, absolutely no need for 8 now vaccinations, 9 coming up in the fall. So none of that was ever needed, but all the money was spent. So now, so you would think, so if we escalated money, if we escalated spending to $6 to $7 trillion for COVID, the moment that COVID was over, then it would go back to 4.4, but it hasn't. Isn't that weird how that always happens? And then, by the way, this is under both a Republican president and a Democrat president, and a Republican Congress and a Democrat Congress, and it's in a Republican Senate and a Democrat Senate, all mixed into one.
Yep.
They've all been in place. Right now, there's a Democrat majority in the Senate and a Republican majority, although waning, in the House. And then it was vice versa during the Trump administration. And now vice versa again in the Biden administration. It doesn't matter because most Republicans are Democratic Party shills. They are hand puppets for the Democratic Party. Ken Buck, who's resigning, Mike Gallagher, who's resigning. They're all just showing themselves who they really are. They simply are Democrats. They really are. You need to understand, but they say Republican things. It doesn't matter. They only say those Republican things so that you continue to elect them so they can go legislate as Democrats. All right, go to the chart for me, Will. This is the bottom end of that tweet. Just so everybody knows, here's what it was in 2019. Submitted February 12th, 2018. Submitted, blah, 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 116 Congress. Total revenue. So look how great we were then. Total revenue brought in 2019. By the way, we're bringing about $5 trillion now and we're spending $7 trillion. Nothing ever changes. I mean, all of that $5 trillion that was brought in under Donald Trump's expansion of the economy that Joe Biden's done all that he can to destroy. So look at total revenue. This is the taxes that were brought in 2019, $3.4 trillion. And then, of course, we spent $4.4 trillion, another $1 trillion in debt. Now, here's the interesting thing, though. Under the Trump administration, we are averaging adding $1 trillion to the debt every year. Now, under the Biden administration, we're adding $1 trillion to the debt every 100 days, $3 trillion per year. Isn't that great? Isn't that fantastic? Deficit, $985 trillion, really, $985 billion, really, $1 trillion. That's where we're at. It's just like the border, right? Under Donald J. Trump, there's too many people coming in. 8,000 per month. Joe Biden, 15,000 per day. So under Donald Trump, $1 trillion worth of debt per year. Under Joe Biden, $1 trillion worth of debt per every 100 days. Three times a year. We get another $1 trillion. Isn't that great under Joe Biden? Fantastic job for everybody who voted for him and everybody that caused him to be elected, which are most COVID-caving Christians, COVID-caving conservatives who all stayed at their homes because it was too much of an existential threat to your life to go vote in person. You believe the narrative, you believe the agenda, which elected Joe Biden. A Jesse Waters video, what's in the new monster bill? Play for me, Will.
There's an old saying, nothing good happens after 2 a.m. Well, this morning at 2:23, Congress released a monster 1,012-page bill with a $1 trillion price tag. They're rushing to pass the bill before you have a chance to read it. Why? Well, because it's full of pork. And we've been digging through it. And here's what you're paying for. Liz Warren is spending $850,000 on a gay senior citizen home in Boston. Florida has the Villages. Massachusetts has the Village People. We're spending $15 million to pay for Egyptians' college tuition. Egyptian tuition, not Egyptians who live in America. Egyptians in Egypt. Egyptian tuition. So we pay for illegals to go to college here, and now we're paying for the tuition before, I guess, they even cross the border. Speaking of Egypt, Gold Bar Bob's sending $400,000 to a gay activist group that teaches elementary school kids about being trans. Not enough to keep you out of jail, Gold Bar. Sorry. Another $400,000 goes to a group that gives clothes to teens that help them hide their gender, like chest binders and tuckums. Parental permission not required. Even Dianne Feinstein, who unfortunately passed away long before the bill was written, has an earmark from the grave. $500,000 for a DEI zoo. The San Diego Zoo's getting $500,000 for an anti-racist nature appreciation program where high school kids from diverse backgrounds can observe wildlife. Why do they need $500,000 to go to the zoo? Tickets are like 15 bucks. That should be enough for every congressman, especially the Republicans, to vote no. But this massive bill will probably be on Biden's desk this weekend, and he'll just sign your money away. Poof.
Again, let's go over the numbers. $850,000 for a gay senior home from Elizabeth Warren. You have to blot that all out of your mind, what goes on in a gay senior home.
Oh.
But anyway, so $850,000 of your taxpayer dollars are going there.
Ugh.
15. Now, remember this. All the Republicans, 101 of them voted for this.
Yeah.
How is a Republican any different than a Democrat? Tom, aren't you a Republican? Yeah, I'm a Republican. But you see, there's a big difference between you and the people we elect, between you and what was our leadership of the RNC. It's better now with Laura Trump. Where's Ronna McDaniel working now? MSNBC.
Shocker.
Yeah, just like Nicole Matthews, just like Michael Steele. Michael Steele used to run the RNC. Remember that? Michael Steele? He used to run the RNC, a never Trump leftist now, because they've always been leftist. Ronna McDaniel is a leftist.
Mm-hmm.
She has to play the role as a Republican so that you'll put her in charge of your party as a leftist.
Yeah.
$15 million to pay for Egyptian citizens' college tuitions in Egypt.
Wow.
$400,000 for a gay activist group to teach elementary kids about being trans. And that came from Gold Bar Bob. Gay Senior Center from Elizabeth Warren. $500,000 for a DEI zoo that's going to train people to be anti-racist nature appreciators. Amazing. And that came from dead Dianne Feinstein. $400,000 for a group that gives clothes to teens to help them hide their gender called tuckums.
Oh.
That's on now. This now, who voted for this? Put that up there for me, Will. Here's the Republicans that voted for right here.
Ugh.
About half of Republicans voted for all of, they voted for $800,000 for a gay senior home. They all need to be held accountable. Look at the names. Screenshot this right now. Cha-ching. Screenshot it right now. I'm looking at the floor. Look at all the Florida people voted for it. Look at them all. Look down that first row to your left. That's my state. Diaz Ballard voted for it. Dunn voted for it. Jimenez voted for it. Lee voted for it. Rutherford, Salazar. All of them must be primaried and defeated.
Yeah.
You got Steve Scalise on there who voted for it. Elise Stefanik voted for it. Looking for other names on here. Aaron proves it and you see a big name, let me know. Oh, of course, there's Dan Crenshaw voted for it.
Of course.
These are leftists. You're saying Elise Stefanik is a leftist? Yes, she is controlled opposition. If you vote for this, what are you? How are you a conservative? $850,000 for a gay senior home? $15 million to pay Egyptians to go to college in Egypt? $400,000, we are $35 trillion in debt. $400,000 for a gay activist group to teach kids how to be trans from Gold Bar Bob. $500,000 for a DEI zoo. $400,000 to give kids tuckums. This was voted into place by Republicans. This does not pass if it's not voted for by Republicans. So everybody knows. Here they are. They all voted for this. And it adds another $1.2 trillion of debt onto our national debt, while they're all saying they're lowering the debt and deficits. I mean, they're just bold-faced lying? Absolutely. Bold-faced, demonic liars. Absolutely. All right, go to the next one, Will. Here's the senators who voted for it. Feast your eyes, live PD Dave tweet. Feast your eyes on the 25 Republican traitors in the Senate who voted with Democrats for the $1.2 trillion spending splurge bill. Here they are, just so everybody knows. There's John Bozeman, Bill Cassidy. Look at all the people that a lot of people think are conservative Republicans. Tom Cotton.
Yep.
Romney.
Okay. And Will just said Romney. We already know what Romney is. Okay. We already know what he's going to do. But look at the ones you don't think, right? You know, like Tom Cotton. He always does. By the way, Tom Cotton grabs his ankles every single time.
Yep.
Every time. He is afraid to be called names. He is afraid to be called somebody who shuts down the government. What's the government doing for you? What's the government doing for you? Lindsey Graham, of course, Chuck Grassley. Chuck Grassley comes out fervently against the FBI and then votes to fund them.
Yep.
In the spending bill, you know what, Jesse Waters only put the funny stuff? In that $1.2 trillion spending bill, guess who's getting a brand new Taj Mahal headquarters?
Yep.
The FBI that Chuck Grassley hates, but then he funds. Now, he didn't just fund the FBI. He's not just funding their salaries. He's building them a Taj Mahal. He's celebrating the FBI, the very FBI he attacks all the time. And he should attack them, but look what he does. So you're like, where is the oar for these people? Where's the rudder for these? They don't have any. It's whatever's politically expedient for them. Tom Tillis, John Thune, Dan Sullivan, Mike, of course, Mittens, Lisa Murkowski, hear those names all the time. All voted to put us $1.2 trillion. Do we have $1.2 trillion in tax revenue? No. What's happening? Printing press. That's all they do.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go to another one for you. This is off the subject now. I just want to show you who these people really are. Tom, look at the date on the bottom of us. March 23, 2024. That's today.
Yep.
I want you to know who these people really are. I'm a Republican. I am voting down ballot Republican without thinking about it. Just so everybody knows, I will get my pen on the, just like I did. There's only one person on the ballot that's primary. I just voted for Trump in Florida. But when I get my ballot, I'm going to mark Republican because Republican's certainly better than a Democrat. But you need to understand who these people really are. And we need to run people like you and me, not like them. These are not real Republicans. What is a Republican? They're a person who believes in a democratic republic. These are not people who believe in a democratic republic. They are globalists. They are self-consumed people who only care about themselves. Everything in life is about themselves, about their personal profit, personal fame, personal self-aggrandizement. So they're all on the cesspool DC cocktail circuit and all get to be renowned by the media. That's all they care about. These are the American Firearms Association. These are the traitor Republican senators who voted to fund $25 million for the gun control studies. I wonder if that's part of the $1.2 trillion. Yep, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Remember all the names of the House that I just showed you? They all voted along with these people for $25 million. I thought they were all pro-gun. They're going to all go and campaign pro-gun.
Yep.
They're all going to go talk about how they're going to fight for your Second Amendment rights while they're simultaneously doing the opposite. And you need to screenshot this and hold them accountable and not vote for them. Yeah, but if I don't vote for, let's just pick one out, shall we? I'll pick one out on the list here. But anyway, these are the traitor Republicans who voted to fund $25 million for gun control studies that will be used to attack our Second Amendment rights. There's Cassidy, Collins, of course, Cornyn, Cotton, Kramer, Ernst, of course, Graham, Grassley, the usual, McConnell, Hyde-Smith, Moran, Mullen, Murkowski, Romney, Rounds. Now, a lot of people, I'll just pick one. They'll go, you know what? If we don't run, if we run somebody against Lindsey Graham, they're going to lose. All right. They lose. All right. I mean, you'll probably lose. Let's just say this, that Lindsey, if you run a true conservative that beats Lindsey Graham, then you're like, well, that true conservative will then lose the general to the Democratic representative because our true conservative is too conservative for that district. All right. So what? Lindsey Graham is legislating as a Democrat anyway. So what's the point of winning that election?
Exactly.
What's the point of winning it as a Republican if they're going to legislate as a Democrat? Or not only Democrat, but a leftist. Lindsey Graham is a leftist. He's a self-aggrandizing, multimillionaire leftist. So I just wanted you to see what's part of this bill and who's voting for what. Here's that Ron and Romney. Put the next one for me, Will. Just to show you who these people really are. Ron and Romney, McDaniel. Former RNC chair, just graciously, just very easily moves right into being an MSNBC pundit.
Yeah.
Because she's a leftist. She was having us purposely lose elections.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, that's exactly what she was doing. She's anti-Trump leftist. She's fine with electing other leftist Republicans pretending to be conservatives because they are what she is, which she is a Republican pretending to be a conservative that's actually a Democrat. That's why she just so seamlessly moves right into MSNBC to be a pundit there. It's like Nicole Matthews and Michael Steele. And who's that? Who's the, I don't know her name, but the alleged conservative first former Trump staffer on The View. See if you can find that name for me. Yeah. She's the only alleged Republican on The View. She's not a Republican. She's there to fool you. She's there to be a mirage. All these people, Lindsey Graham, McConnell, Ron Romney, McDaniel, any of them you want to name that just betrayed us, they are Democrats pretending to be Republicans. And there are no Republicans, Democrats that are pretending to be Democrats. They're all Democrats. There's no Democrats who are actually Republicans. But most Republicans are actually Democrats. Just saw it. 101. Who is there?
Alyssa Farah Griffin.
Yeah, Farah. I knew Farah in there, yeah. But I don't want to. So that whenever you see her, she's just a fraud.
Yeah.
She's there. She is there. She, you know, controlled opposition is actually too soft of a term. It's actually like political espionage. They're just there, and they say conservative things. Occasionally, we'll get a conservative judge, and we've seen how well these conservative judges have done.
Yeah.
They're not, the judges oftentimes are not conservative either. Robert Hur, the special counsel that looked into that was supposed to be investigating the Biden documents. Okay, he's a registered Republican, like James Comey is, like Christopher Wray is. they are infiltrators. They are there. See, we won't do that because you and I can't live the life of a lie. We cannot live a lie. They are perfectly fine pretending to be Republicans while all the while receiving their marching orders from the DNC. And I'm telling you, literally they are. Literally, they are. They are receiving their marching orders. Ronald Romney McDaniel has been a Democrat all along. Yeah, but I've seen her say fervent conservative things. That's to keep her in her place. She wants to make sure that she's the head of the RNC so that Democrats run in the RNC. It really is that way. That is the way it is, folks, just so you know. It really is that way. I'm stealing this from Bongino, but stop loving politicians. Stop loving politicians. As Bongino says, they are simply tools. Sometimes they're useful. Sometimes they're not. And tools in more ways than one. All right, put the next one for me. These are random things right now. Just want to show you the murder rate. You know, we have all the white supremacist terrorists narrative.
Yeah.
That's going on. That the greatest existential threat to America is white supremacist terrorists. Oh, Tom, you're racist. You're xenophobic, transphobic. Not anything. Not a racist at all. I'm not going to say it over and over again. Not a racist at all, but facts are fact. Facts are facts. Show me the videos of white supremacist terrorists attacking black folks. Please, show me any. But I can show you hundreds of hours of black people attacking white people right now.
Yep.
Right now. We could be why? Because they've been taught DEI and ESG and CRT their entire life. So they feel justified because every white person they see is somebody who suppressed them and is a member of the Ku Klux Klan. But what are the actual numbers? Now these are NYC numbers. New York City, when the murder, here's the, all the murder percent, NYC murder percent share. When it is a black person who is doing the murdering, 78% of their victims are black, 30% of their victims are Hispanic, 44% of their victims are white, and a staggering, because it's a very small part of the population, 40% of their victims are Asian. And notice how many more black murders there are than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
It's a major problem in the black culture. It's got nothing to do with the melanin content of the skin. Nothing. Being white doesn't make you good. Being black doesn't make you good. The blood of Jesus makes you good. That's it. When it's an Hispanic murderer, 19% of the time, he's murdering a black victim. 70% of the time, he's murdering a Hispanic victim. 19% of the time, a white victim. 6% of the time, Asian victim. Here's the greatest threat. Existential threat to America. Notice how low the white murder rate is. Everybody see it? Doesn't mean white people are spirit. Doesn't mean anything. It's just simply facts.
Mm-hmm.
There's a cultural problem, and it looks like in both the Hispanic culture and the black culture, just so everybody knows. When you're releasing murderers and rapists into the country to the tune of 15,000 per day, you might have some rapists in there, right?
Yeah.
Might have some murderers in there. Speaking of murder, white murder, when it's a white murderer, 3% of the time, white supremacist terrorists attacking black people. 3% of the time, they're black.
Wow.
30% of the time, really 40% of the time, When a white person murders, they're murdering another white person. And 16.6% of the time, they're murdering the Asians. And Asians basically only murder themselves. Just so you know. These are the actual facts.
Yeah.
So when you see that when you see Joe Biden in his numerous speeches that we played on this podcast, mainly in the pregame, postgame, white supremacist terror, Christopher Ray, is the greatest existential threat to America. Really? Where? Certainly isn't in NYC. So where exactly is it the greatest threat to America? It's got nothing to do with skin color. It has to do with what are the facts. I'm telling you flat out, if there was a white supremacist problem in America, I hate anybody who's a supremacist according to the melanin content or lack thereof in their skin. Hate it because it's stupid. I hate all things stupid. So if there was a white supremacist terrorist problem in the United States of America, Aaron and I and Will, we'd be showing the videos all the time and attacking it because it's stupid.
Yep.
On to the border. Is there really only 30 minutes left?
Yep.
Holy moly. You know, I'm telling you folks, I almost kind of hate that this is a short show. I have so much to get to. Man, oh man. All right, let's go to the border. New CBP reports. I want you guys to learn. Put yourselves on because I want to clap together. Another Biden accomplishment. Come on, guys.
Woo!
Come on, Will. Another Biden accomplishment. You're right here. We got to celebrate it. We got to celebrate Biden accomplishments. CBP reports. There were 189,922 migrant encounters at the southern border in February, the highest February ever recorded. That's a fantastic job by the Biden administration. I mean, to be this galactically incompetent and galactically stupid, I mean, you got to celebrate those accomplishments. This includes Border Patrol apprehensions, CBP One app releases, and encounters at ports of entry. CBP apprehended 140,644 illegal aliens in February, the second highest February ever for Border Patrol behind... Oh, wait. So the highest must have been under Trump. No, they beat the previous record. That was the year before.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
These numbers do not include the hundreds of thousands of gotaways, 15,000 per day, that we know about. There you go. CBP reports. There have now been 70 people on the FBI terror watch list arrested by the Border Patrol in fiscal year 2024 already. Remember what Trump's average was. Remember, Trump's average was between 0 and 6 per year. Biden has 70 already in the first 3 months of this year. 169 last year. I mean, it's truly amazing. These are people on the terror watch list. Arrested by the Border Patrol in fiscal year 2024 so far, which began fiscal year. So it's October, November, December, January, February, March. So the first half of the year. So he'll do about 140, 150. And Trump's average was 6. Just so you know. That's, you know what we call that on the TLP? Facts. Data and facts. That data is through February and doesn't include March. So 5 months worth. There you go. Those are the actual numbers from the border. All right, go to the next one. Well, Jenny Ter tweet, exclusive, illegal migrant from Lebanon, caught at border, admitted he's a Hezbollah terrorist and hoped to make a bomb in the United States. Great job, Biden administration. Go to the next one for me, Will. Here's one for you. Now, this is a sterling person that Joe Biden has allowed into the United States of America. Life in prison, Bud video, life in prison without parole is too good for Crystal Candelario, something like that. I'll call it Candelario, 32, an undocumented, single parent, illegal alien who doesn't speak English after living in the U.S. for years. She collects thousands in federal aid, state food stamps. Hey, can you side by side this for me so everyone knows what I'm talking about? Can you do that, Aaron?
Yeah.
There she is. I just want to show you who Crystal Candelario. She collects thousands of federal financial aid, state food stamps, state child support, and state sponsored housing, state sponsored cell phone, state sponsored car, clothing, gasoline allowance. Crystal left her 16 month old baby in a playpen for 10 days.
Oh my gosh.
Without food or water, as she went on what she described as a much needed vacation. The baby, by the way, alone for 10 days in a playpen. The baby died of dehydration and starvation, but Candelario says God and her baby have forgiven her. The left keeps importing these low-life future Democrat voters, and after they finish murdering their own, they'll turn on us. Play it for me.
Dios y mi hija me ha perdonado.
God and my daughter have forgiven me.
You committed
the ultimate act of betrayal. Leaving your baby terrified, alone, unprotected, to suffer what I heard was the most gruesome death imaginable. You left your baby, Jalen, trapped in a pack and play without food and water for 10 days. This wasn't simply an oversight. I'm going to sentence you to life in prison without the possibility of parole.
Yep, and that's exactly where she should die in prison because she murdered her kid. All right, let's go to the next one. Wall Street, and that's who the Biden administration is bringing in. Wall Street silver video. Here's an illegal migrant in New York City. Play for me, Will.
¿Cuánto tiempo está ahí en Watson?
Dos meses, dos meses.
¿Y ahí pagan por...?
No, no, ahí no pagamos. Esto es totalmente gratis. Es una ayuda que nos brinda el Estado.
¿Y qué reciben adentro de los hostels?
Hay una buena atención, sí, no lo puedo negar.
¿Reciben comida cada día?
Sí, sí, todos los...
¿Cuántas comidas al día? ¿Tres?
Sí, su desayuno, la almuerzo, la cena, sí, todo.
¿Ahí reciben seguro también por medicamentos?
Sí, sí, mira, ellos se encargan de hacer todo eso, pues de hecho tramitan lo que es el Medicaid.
¿Le ayudan para conseguir asilo? Y...
Sí, para hacer el trámite y aplicar. Y es gratuito.
¿Reciben abogados también?
Abogados también, sí. Sí, la Cruz Roja también se enlaza con ellos y pues te brindan esa ayuda gratuita.
¿Y los abogados son gratis también?
Sí, los abogados también son gratis.
Entonces ahora mismo... ¿Tienen las maletas? ¿Tienen las maletas? ¿Y ahora a dónde van ustedes?
Bueno, mira, ahora nos dirigimos hacia... De hecho, pedimos el pasaje, nos lo dan también gratuito y nos vamos hacia Arizona.
¿A Arizona?
Phoenix, Arizona, sí.
Wow, ¿y le dieron eso para gratis?
Sí, gratis. El vuelo es gratis, totalmente. Vamos porque realmente acá en Nueva York, como sabemos, está colapsado. ¿No? Muchos migrantes.
Ahí dentro del hotel ellos... coordinaron todo eso.
Sí, ellos coordinaron.
So the economy for migrants has collapsed in NYC, so our tax dollars are being used to fly them to another location. We'll get free food, free board, three meals a day, free housing, everything. Wow. And we're $35 trillion in debt, and we're paying for not only his flight, but all his little kids that were right there and his wife. For what? What do you and I get out of this? $35 trillion worth of debt, which I believe adds up to about $200,000 per family in the United States of America. Or maybe it's individual. I don't know, because those numbers, when you're dealing with a trillion, each trillion is 1,000 billions. So, I mean, just so everybody knows. All right, here's more. I meme therefore I am video breaking Venezuelan migrants. TikTok, most of you have seen this guy, this Capici or whatever his name is. Capici. Guy puts out these TikToks teaching illegal aliens how to squat on houses and basically steal from Walmart. I'll show you that in a minute. I've already shown you that I'm not doing the one where he teaches everybody how to squat. I'm not doing that one. We got two more. Venezuelan migrants TikTok account with almost 5 million followers got suspended. Why did it? Here's Peter Ducey. Play for me.
A Venezuelan migrant with 500,000 followers on TikTok who is telling border crossers they can live in empty houses in this country.
In his most recent controversial TikTok video, Moreno is telling his followers to avoid living on the streets in the United States. They can, quote, invade empty homes and live there, saying under U.S. law, if a house is uninhabited, it can be seized, referring to squatting rights in our country. That video garnered almost 4 million views. In past videos, the illegal migrant bragged that he came to the United States to vacation and now lives off U.S. taxpayers because he had a child in this country. He also tells his followers that he waits for Americans' hard-earned pension checks to come in every month. In another video, he is urging fellow Venezuelans to pay the fines of a 15-year-old migrant who allegedly shot a tourist in Times Square, saying, quote, today it could be him, tomorrow it could be one of you.
Would President Biden support a law that would make that kind of squatting illegal?
I have not seen that TikTok video, so I can't comment on that.
Why can't you comment on it? Why can't she comment on it? I have a whole squatting section of the show. I don't know if I'll get to it tonight or not, but obviously there's a lot of illegal migrants. They're squatting in American houses. We know that. Why wouldn't you simply say, of course I would support a bill like that. Why is there even any hesitancy? It's like what I keep talking about. Why is there even a discussion about a fully penis man shaving in Planet Fitness's women's bathroom with 12-year-old girls? Why is there even a thought? I mean, this is the level that the devil will take you in a hurry when a Democrat is in charge.
Yep.
I mean, it doesn't take very long. Look how far we've gone down the toilet since Joe Biden took over 3 years ago. Hey, here's the same guy, Capici. I mean, therefore I am again video. New as promised. Here's the video I saved from Capici's suspended account. He's now been suspended. So he's already taught illegals how to squat. Now he's teaching them how to get free merchandise from Walmart. Play it for me.
Y bueno, mi gente, Leito Oficial viene de nuevo a revelar un código que muchas personas utilizan al día a día, pero le da miedo decirlo. Muchachos, ustedes muy bien saben que mi hija todos los días estrena ropa nueva. Pero ¿cuál es el código para que mi hija estrene y estrene a bajo costo? Muchachos, miren. Por ejemplo, esta ropita que le acabamos de comprar tiene esta pequeña etiqueta. Capichi, se la quitamos con cuidado. La guardamos. La utiliza dos o tres veces. Le tomamos un par de fotico a mi hija para salir. Y los días sábados venimos a cambiar toda esa ropa. Le ponemos la etiqueta y nos devuelven el dinero. Capichi, todo el mundo en...
So there you go. I just wanted to show you these things. Now, here's the thing. You just side by side this one, guys. Then his account, thank goodness, got suspended. Here's him crying about it. And just so you know, look at the big scene. He's the giant snot coming out of his left nostril, running down into his mouth, just leaves it right there. Talking about puke fest. My question is, so his account finally gets, after he basically teaches people how to shoplift, how to squat in houses, he finally gets suspended off of TikTok. I can't be on TikTok 5 seconds. They suspend me.
Yeah. That's true.
This guy's been putting out, the only reason why he got suspended is because it's trended so hard on Twitter, and actually Ducey ends up asking Karine Jean-Pierre about it. Otherwise, he's still on TikTok. I'm on TikTok for 10 seconds, they banned me. Over nothing. They banned me over putting out a Lori Lightfoot video on Chicago. Wasn't even COVID, wasn't even vax, it wasn't even ivermectin, which got me banned, a lifetime ban on YouTube.
Yeah.
Ivermectin, which now the FDA has come out and says, just fine. I hope I have time to get to it. But anyway, so I can't be on TikTok for 10 seconds. This guy's teaching people how to shoplift and squat in homes, and he's on for years. And now finally he gets his account. Imagine caring that much about TikTok. Probably because he receives an income on top of Will's money, Aaron's money, and my money that he gets every month. Look at that snot thing coming out. Look how long that snot is coming out. His baby just put her hand in it. Baby's touching it. There we go. All right, let's go to the next one. I have to show you this stuff. Your big fish video, your property rights are quickly becoming blurred. Fact, folks. Play it for me.
Okay. This involves a legitimate homeowner, a home for sale, a convicted child sex trafficker. Guess who had the upper hand? It's the kind of tale that makes homeowners and landlords confused about whose side the law is on.
This is my home, and there's somebody in there, an intruder in there, who I do not know.
This wooded corner lot in Tucker was for sale, posted as plain as day online for sale, not for rent. On closing day, homeowner Ronan McCabe discovered people, strangers, had moved in and changed the locks.
They broke into my house and moved in. All the locks had been changed.
Friday, October 20th, Mr. McCabe called Gwinnett County Police. The home had been empty for just a few weeks before it was filled with a stranger's furniture. He says the couple inside told police they had a lease.
They have no contract, no agreement with me. Gwinnett County Police are saying that there's nothing that they can do.
He was told to go to magistrate court the following Monday and file a dispossessory notice, which means going through a lengthy evictions process and a backed up court system to get his own house back. That same day, the man in the house, calling himself Raymond Cortez, texted that he would leave, but for a price.
Data, that's a shakedown. Are you kidding me? They want me to pay them to leave my home. That's scandalous.
Frustrated and distressed as he now had his house sale on hold, Ronan McCabe called the Fox 5 I-team. We met him there, triggering the man from inside the house to text him again.
I'm calling the cops. I am with my attorney now drafting up a lawsuit.
The house squatter told police earlier that he was a member of the Sovereign Citizens Movement. They don't believe in government, identification, taxes, things like that. But he sure didn't mind calling the authorities to help him stay in a home he didn't own. The Gwinnett PD's third trip was different. Things changed very fast. A woman who told police she was his wife abruptly left. He came out, went back in. Suddenly, U.S. Marshals started flooding the street. It seems they had a parallel investigation. He was a wanted man. After busting down the door and sliding him across a floor covered in water and soap, meant to trip up police, they had him. Ramon Fuertes III. Police and court documents show he's a convicted federal felon with tattoos called Pimpin' and used an email address called YoungPimpin86. He'd been in federal prison for child sex trafficking, accused of prostituting a young teen he called Lollipop. Fuertes was wanted for failing to register as a sex offender after his release. Finally over, right?
Nope. So there you go. Again, I would love to know that guy's immigration status. I'll just say that. And another white supremacist terrorist problem right there. So the guy goes in. Basically, everyone knows how the squatting thing works, so I'm not gonna elaborate on it too much. But obviously, we have a major problem. And it's not just this either. Just so everybody knows, you need to be watching for your title. Is it a title on your house? Do you call it a title or a deed or whatever the title?
Yeah.
The title. Like, you know, get those title protections. Because a lot of people are having their homes actually stolen from them online.
Yep.
And then the cops throw you out and arrest you if you throw them out. And I'm talking about this. That was in Georgia right there. These are not necessarily just left-wing states. I mean, you're in real trouble if it's NYC or left-wing state. Because they love the illegal migrants squatting in your house more than they love. They don't love you at all. They hate you and love them because those people are actually ushering forward their globalist, bourgeois, leftist, elitist agenda and narrative. But you'll end up going to jail.
Yep.
You'll end up because they'll actually have paperwork that says they own the house. And there's all sorts of squatters' rights. So everybody needs to be protecting your homes. I'm telling you. This is all part of the plan, too. You don't believe me? I'm telling you. This is all part of the plan. Let me show you another part of it. I meme, therefore, I am video. Lots of I meme, therefore, I am videos, and I appreciate him or her. But breaking, it's in California. State Farm won't renew 72,000 home and apartment policies in California because of inflation, regulatory costs, and increasing risks for catastrophe. So the very people who are causing the inflation now cancel your insurance because of the inflation as if it is a giant plan. Remember, they made COVID. They produced COVID. They man-made COVID in the Wuhan Institute of Virology, then offered all of their totalitarian solutions to the problem they caused. It's happening right here. Play it for me, Will.
From the air, the fourplex in Hayward that Alexander Lee's family owns has been insured by State Farm for almost four decades. No claims. This week, State Farm called him with a shocker. His policy will not be renewed.
I said, whoa. I said, don't make no sense to me because been with you guys 38 years, no claims. Am I the only one, or am I the only apartment, or is it going to be one part? He's always, it's going to be California-wise. I said, really? California-wise?
Harvey Rosenfield, founder of Consumer Watchdog and author of Insurance Proposition 103, says State Farm's last big rate increase came just last week.
That rate increase was approved, assuming that they sell insurance policies to the people who need it in the state, and now they're canceling more people.
David Schaefer is an insurance broker who sells from a wide variety and range of companies.
This is definitely the worst it's ever been in my 40 years in this industry.
So there you go. I just wanted to show you that coming out of California, because that's what, listen, it's all about you losing your home, because if you lose your home, they move you into their 15-minute cities where you are controlled. That's what they want. They want all of your independence gone. They don't want, they do not want you to be independent. They want to control you, to use you. You are the, either use you or get rid of you, because you are the carbon that they want you, that they want to get rid of. This is all on purpose, just so everybody knows. All right, let me do 60 seconds with Midas Gold. And speaking of this, this is one of the reasons why you have got to buy gold. And I know that I go over this 60 seconds. Stay with me. I'm telling you. And it's important. I'm buying gold this month. I told you that. I'm buying thousands of dollars worth of gold. You need to be buying as much gold as you possibly can. When you do buy it from Midas Gold Group. Why Midas Gold Group? Because Midas Gold Group is you and me. They're not Romney Republicans. These are MAGA Republicans. This is a MAGA company. Veteran-owned, veteran-operated, MAGA-owned, MAGA-operated. You have the BRICS movement going on right now where they are trying to de-dollarize the globe and devalue the USD while simultaneously buying gold. And when you have hyperinflation, a great hedge against that is gold. The USD used to be this way, just so everybody knows. Around the globe, the USD, because it was backed by gold, was basically the gold for everybody else, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It was the gold for everybody else because the USD was gold-backed. Now it's no longer gold-backed. So the BRICS movement, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, they are trying to de-dollarize the globe and go to the Chinese yuan while simultaneously buying copious amounts of gold. I'm trying to remember exactly how many. I think we own, the United States owns 8,000 tons of gold. So gold is extremely valuable, extremely valuable. So listen, buy it from Midas Gold Group because they are us. And when you do buy it from Midas, tell them that TLP sent you. Now listen, this video, I've shown it before, and a lot of people don't have the guts to play this stuff. Most pastors don't preach from the pulpit because it'll upset the Democrats that are in your congregation. No Democrat should be able to survive your preaching.
Mm-hmm.
They should leave the church. They should either repent or leave the church. People need to be seeing this. And listen, there's 734 people that I can see watching online right now. I don't know how many people are watching on the Christian Television Network. Judging from the correspondence that we get from CTN, we have a lot of people watching. So here's the thing. Remember who you receive your marching orders from. When they tell you to wear a mask, who's telling you to wear a mask? Who's telling you to stand 6 feet apart? Who's telling you to buy an electric vehicle? Who's telling you CO2 is a problem? Who's telling you that if you're against transgenderism, you're not a compassionate individual? Who's telling you these things? And what I truly marveled at over the last 4 years of 15 days to flatten the curve is who Christians took marching orders from. And many of them took marching orders from the theological, political, philosophical, baby butchering opponents. Truly amazing. And I want to show you this video of it from an abortion doctor so that everybody just remembers what an abortion really is and who the people are okay with it. Play for me, Will.
Dr. Levitino, we'll begin with you. Welcome.
Thank you, Chairman and members of the committee. I only have 5 minutes, so I'm going to get right to it. Second trimester D&E abortions performed between roughly 14 and 24 weeks of gestation. Your patient today is 17 years old. She's 22 weeks pregnant. Her baby is the length of your hand plus a couple of inches. And she's been feeling her baby kick for the last several weeks, but she's asleep on an operating room table. You walk into that operating room scrubbed and gowned, and after removing laminaria, you introduce a suction catheter into the uterus. This is a 14 French suction catheter. If she were 12 weeks pregnant or less, basically the width of your hand or smaller, you could basically do the entire procedure with this. But babies this big don't fit through catheters this size. After suctioning the amniotic fluid out from around the baby, you introduce an instrument called a Sofer clamp. It's about 13 inches long. It's made of stainless steel. The business end of this clamp is about 2.5 inches long and a half inch wide. There are rows of sharp teeth. This is a grasping instrument. When it gets a hold of something, it does not let go. A D&E procedure is a blind abortion, so picture yourself introducing this and grabbing anything you can blindly and pull, and I do mean hard, and out pops a leg about that big, which you put down on the table next to you. Reach in again, pull out an arm about the same length, which you put down on the table next to you, and use this instrument again and again to tear out the spine, the intestines, the heart and lungs. Head in the baby that size is about the size of a large plum. Can't see it, but you've pretty good idea you've got it if you've got your instrument around something and your fingers are spread about as far as they go. You know you did it right if you crush down on the instrument and white material runs out of the cervix. That was the baby's brains. Then you could pull out skull pieces. And you have a day like I had a lot of times, sometimes a little face comes back and stares back at you. Congratulations, you just successfully performed a second trimester D&E abortion. You just affirmed her right to choose.
There you go. That's your right to choose. Just so everybody knows, that's who these people are. I love that doctor. He's obviously repented of his sin of murdering people. But that's who these people are. And you always need to be asking yourself, who am I receiving my information from? People that are okay with that? Then why in the world? Why would you ever receive marching orders from people who are okay with that? Because that is, if you ever donned a mask or took a COVID vaccination, closed your churches, stood 6 feet apart, quarantined your healthy family, people who believe in that, I don't want to talk about that doctor now, he's repented of his sin. People who believe that that is not murdering people, you pull out a human leg, what exactly are you killing? And it's 41.2 million per year worldwide without New York and California reporting, the number one and number two abortion states in the United States of America. And Christians receive their marching orders from people. Put a mask on, take your vaccinations, lower CO2. You receive your marching orders or your information from people who believe that slaughtering the unborn, pulling them out piece by bloody piece out of their mother's womb is not murder. So you're receiving your information, your marching orders from stupid, ignoramus people. And speaking of the opposite of that, Aaron, what do we got?
We just wanted to take a quick second to thank some people that became monthly subscribers on
Love
Rumble.
Love you guys.
Yeah, so thank you, Wendy McGroin and Dragon McGroin.
Love the McGroins.
Love them. Love them.
Must be a giant family somewhere living like in Wyoming on a ranch. No, I love you guys. Really do appreciate you. Seeing the McGroins watching Bongino too. Love you guys. Seriously, we're all in this together. Let me show you this out of Russia real quick. Chuck Cholesterol video. Shock report roughly 2 weeks ago. The State Department put out a notice. Everybody knows about the terrorist attack in Moscow. Killed at least 40 people, maybe more. Put out a notice to all Americans in Moscow to avoid. Weird, isn't it? That John Kirby puts out a warning just 2 weeks before it actually happens. Here it goes. Play.
I've also seen, hopefully you saw our State Department, our embassy there, put out a notice to all Americans in Moscow to avoid any large gathering, concerts, obviously shopping malls, anything like that, just for their own safety. They should stay put where they are and stay plugged into the State Department for any additional updates and information. I'm afraid that's really all I have on that. Now in Ukraine, today Russia...
So that was 2 weeks ago, and John Kirby says, you know what, Americans, make sure you stay out of these certain areas. And again, if you report anything that is not adamantly opposed to Vladimir Putin, you're pro-Putin. Listen, I don't care what people call me. Honestly, I don't. I've already told you. When you're dealing with the Ukraine war, Ukraine versus Russia, you're dealing with dumb or dumber, beast one, beast two, equally malign nations, both authoritarian dictatorships. So again, it's like choosing the Iraq versus Iran war, Khomeini versus Saddam Hussein. Who am I going to pick? You know what you pick? Neither.
Yeah.
That's what you pick. Neither. But there's a lot of self-interest as part of the DC cesspool. Lots of self-interest, a lot of self-aggrandizement, a lot of self-profiting going on in these countries. So they've got to protect their interests. And right now their interest is Ukraine. And believe me, all of them would be pro-Russia if their money was going in and out of Russia and being laundered in Russia, they'd all be pro-Russia. So please, there's no white hats and black hats in Ukraine versus Russia. They're both black hats. It is what it is, just so everybody knows. So Kirby says 2 weeks ago, Americans beware, there's going to be a terrorist problem. Not going to be. Could be.
No.
Could be. Just like, remember how the FBI was warning all the social media platforms every week, meeting with Facebook, meeting with Twitter. You know what? There's going to be some Russian disinformation that's coming out. You know, the Hunter Biden laptop. They never said Hunter Biden laptop, but it's going to come out. Miranda Devine's going to report out of the New York Post. But we never actually said it was the laptop or anything. Then you had the 51 former intel chiefs say that it was all Russian disinformation. If they were all making their money out of Russia, if Halliburton was making money out of Russia, Liz Cheney would be pro-Russian because these are soulless people. These are rudderless, unprincipled charlatans. That's who they are. Here's John Kirby yesterday. Play it for me.
Thank you. So question, did the U.S. have prior knowledge of this attack in Moscow, given that the U.S. Embassy had issued warning beforehand?
I'm not aware of any advance knowledge that we had of this terrible attack.
On March 8th, the embassy...
Oh, back to me. Do you see how incoherent this is? He has no prior knowledge to... John, we have videos, you know. I mean, how stupid does... I mean, imagine how... If you're a leftist and you're watching this, how do you allow yourself to be patronized like that? We have the video. You predicted it 2 weeks ago. Now you're saying you had no prior knowledge. All right, John. Let me show you a little bit of the shooting. Play it for me, Will. Those are people dying right there, just so you know. Now, again, this is in a Russian, basically, theater, shopping mall area. So I don't care whether you're pro-Ukraine, anti-Ukraine, whatever it may be. This was civilians being shot by people in military gear with AK-47s. Strange little development right here. Rosa Parks video. Footage of Moscow, Syrian girl video. Remember when Ukrainian fighters were caught wearing ISIS patches? Play it for me. Weird, isn't Ossoff Battalion, Nazi patches, now ISIS patches? We only got 10 seconds left, right? Okay. So, I mean, we need to be looking at this. It's all one narrative. What was the CIA's involvement? What was State Department's involvement? Whatever. Love you all. God bless you. See you on Tuesday.
I don't know how people go to the church of perpetual false edification. I don't know how you deal with it. I mean, for me, it's got to be challenging. I couldn't go to a monotone church. A lukewarm church. I could never pull that off. And it's not really because of altruistic reasons or righteous reasons even. I'd be bored out of my mind. I would be bored out of my mind if I wasn't challenged. If there wasn't something that irritated me, I'm at the wrong church. I want something that, you know, I want something where I have to go, you know what, I'm gonna go check that. I wanna go see if that's really right. Because I don't feel like that could possibly be right. We've had people do that. They come back, they've ended up staying for years, because if you love the Bible, you won't be able to go anywhere else.
If you enjoyed watching the Tom Lipley podcast, please consider investing in our program. Go to TomLipley.com and donate $25 or more, and we will send you this TLP mug warmer. We look forward to you tuning in next week, and thank you for giving.